Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 a.m. and you are tuned into your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 50 degrees under sunny skies. Joining me in the studio are some folks from the White Elephant Shop. Karen Martinson is the new executive director of the White Elephant in Sitka, and Sherry Hample is a volunteer. She's also been working as a contractor to assess the health of the organization and where it might go in the future. Welcome to Morning Edition.
Thank you, Melissa. Good to be here.
Thanks, Melissa.
Well, the new executive director, welcome on board. This is a really, really big change for the White Elephant. Can we talk a bit about why it's such a change and what that might mean for the organization?
Well, I think having your first ever paid position, staff person, is a huge change for a volunteer organization. The White Elephant is literally an institution in Sitka, and it's almost kind of a central, you know, gathering meeting place at certain times and days and hours. And it's been run with the heroic power of a lot of women, mainly women, over the years. And sustaining a volunteer organization in today's world is getting more challenging.
Well, Sherry, you came in. Your task was to assess the organization. What's called the SWOT analysis. Can you describe the process a bit and what you found?
Okay, when you do a SWOT analysis, you're looking at the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and the threats of an organization. And as a volunteer, I came in to work with the board, and particularly at the request of Anita Berge, the current president. And so basically, I worked every aspect of the White Elephant Shop as a volunteer and talked with volunteers, talked with board members, talked with community members. The White Elephant has tremendous strengths. One is that they've sustained themselves since the late 50s as a volunteer organization, and they have provided since 1992, and they became their own nonprofit, over $1.2 million worth of support to nonprofits and individuals in our community. That's an amazing accomplishment. What opportunities do they have? They have opportunities to continue that mission, and they've stayed really true to their mission, which is very admirable because a lot of organizations kind of gravitate away from their main mission over the years. The threats that are new to the White Elephant Shop are, one, the current situation with volunteerism, and also the fact that there's some other thrift shops in towns and consignment shops in town that have not been there before. And so not really competition because our mission is so clear, but it's something new to that's going to impact maybe shopping or even donations and those kinds of things. In terms of weaknesses, having a small working board can be a strength and a weakness because it means that board members are not only serving as the board, but they're also working day-to-day in the shop, sorting donations, bringing in donations. And the amount of work that it takes to do what we do at the White Elephant Shop is tremendous. I know some of the board members put in probably 30, 40, maybe even more hours per week.
So when we talk about the changing face of volunteerism, how do you see that? What does that look like for the Whitey? How is that impacting the Whitey? Since it is a volunteer organization, relies on so many hours of service, how is that changing for the Whitey?
Well, I think they have a reduction in the number of volunteers over the last several years. I think one of their strengths was they had a core group of community members who would stay active for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Very active and be there every single week doing a particular job. And today, with everyone being so busy and raising their children and both parents working and, you know, very full lives, there may not be a generation that has that kind of time to provide to an organization. That will be a huge challenge. At the same time, there's some exciting opportunities, I think, with our youth who are getting more interested in service learning and work experience. So we have some kind of fun, bumbling ideas here that are just bubbling to the surface that might change the face of the white elephant a little, and change maybe the energy level, but not change what we do.
So Karen, as the new executive director, what are some of your other goals for the organization?
Well, I think the most important one is to make sure that the White Elephant store and shop is sustainable, so that they don't get in a situation where they don't have enough volunteers. They're strong with their asset department, and they need to be able to maintain that. And they need to be able to assure that the way in which they donate money and the way in which it's accounted for is really going to the highest and best purposes. So I think for them, it's just making sure that they continue to be really strong with dwindling volunteer hours and people who can't give quite as much as they used to.
What are some other changes we have been seeing and we might be seeing in the future?
Well, one of the things that the board has been working on is, you can imagine, we get a tremendous amount of donations, and we get things donated to us that we cannot sell and we cannot accept. And so the board in May took some action to really define our donations and the kinds of things that really do help us meet our goal of providing financial support to community nonprofits and to individuals. So we've done a We Cannot Accept list, and we're going to be starting an education campaign on that. We have a new sign out by our donation cage, we call it, which talks about what we cannot accept. What we really are trying to focus on is quality donations that we can turn around and sell, and then in turn provide funding to the community. So we will be doing some PSAs and some community education, probably some flyers, and come by and see our new sign, and come by on Tuesday when we're having an open house welcome reception for Karen from 4 to 6 on Tuesday.
So, I mean, this decision seems to have been made for financial purposes, likely.
Right.
Garbage.
Yeah, the cost of garbage is thousands of dollars. And I don't think people realize that when you give us things that are broken, things that are rusted, things that are torn, ripped, missing buttons, soiled beyond our ability to, you know, fix them, that you're adding to our garbage bill a great deal. We spend thousands and thousands of dollars a year on trash alone. So,
And I assume it's also a time management issue, too.
It's a huge issue. Just the other day, I opened one box, and it had obviously been mothballed and then probably stored in a garage. So we really had mildew and mold clothing, and it was probably about 50 pounds. So by the time we had brought it in from the street, processed it in the next phase, then got it into the shop, then sorted it, you know, you had all these hours, all this movement, only to find out that the entire box was not usable whatsoever. So it all had to go in the trash. So it's really, that's going to be really important, is people understanding that we're talking about items that can be easily recycled and repurposed and that are safe. You know, believe it or not, there is actually a federal code for thrift shops of what you are and are not allowed to even carry. And a lot of them have to do with, like, children's toys and children's products, and even, like, the pajamas that might be very, very old little kids' PJs if they weren't, you know, during the time of the fire. So sorting...
So safety concerns,
yeah,
for example. Yeah,
sorting at that level, you know, becomes extremely time-consuming. So if we can be more clear about what helps us, and if people can discard the things that are just going to take up a lot of our time and money, that's going to help us out a lot.
And so one of your new regulations, and you don't accept anything that holds children because it might have been recalled.
Right.
So that's a safety issue as well. So you're really setting up some structures and systems here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even electronics, you have to be careful because, you know, you have to have something that's safe today, not electrical outlet you know, things that were 20 years ago used as in an electrical outlet that aren't grounded, say, for example. So there's a lot more to it, I think, than most people think.
We should talk a bit about prices, too, because people are talking about how it seems to be more expensive to shop at the White Elephant. Can we address that?
I think pricing is really a challenge for many thrift stores. I know, like, when you look at consignment shops, they have a process where they assign a price and then they discount it over time because they want to move their merchandise because they're for profit. At the White Elephant shop, I think there's never been probably any standard processes or kind of standard procedures for pricing. It's sometimes discretionary, and yet we also get a lot of very nice things in that are name brand that are in perfect condition. And charging a dollar for a brand fairly new Columbia jacket or some new Vask tennis shoes, that doesn't make sense to us because, remember, our mission is to provide funding to nonprofits and community members and people who are in need. And so raising the price on, we call them, some of our boutique items, allows us to really generate more funding, and it really has been made a significant difference over the last few years in our revenue generation. There's always other things available. There might be a certain element of the population that wants to shop those boutique items. In general, I think the perception is that all the prices have been raised, and that's not an accurate perception. And so when you look at perception versus reality, it's just not there. And again, that becomes kind of an education effort and working on that. And when the board is doing the board work and also doing the work at the store, some of those things just cannot be addressed in a, you know, an educational manner because of the time limitation. So,
well, you know, when we speak, we're just about out of time, but when we speak about a community institution such as the Whitey, I think